Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Your regular financial contributions make it possible for Beth Emmanuel to make D. Thomas Lancaster's weekly sermons available online. We genuinely appreciate your support and hope that you are blessed by these teachings. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining Beth Emmanuel's extended virtual family and support our efforts for the kingdom with a gift by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
You know, Shabbat Shalom, the words Shabbat Shalom are not just a greeting that you say on Sabbath, but it's also, it's really invoking a blessing in that that the person who says to you Shabbat Shalom is wishing or blessing you with Sabbath peace, blessing, asking for God to give Sabbath peace to the person to whom he extends the greeting. So, when I greet you with Shabbat Shalom, I'm blessing you with Sabbath peace. This week's Torah portion contains blessings, the blessing of all blessings, just like you have a Song of Songs, you know, and just like you have a Holy of Holies. I would call this the blessing of blessings. It's the priestly blessing. It's the priestly benediction. We say, as it says, it's in Numbers chapter 6, if you want to look at it, Numbers 6, but you don't have to because you probably have heard this one before. It says, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel, you shall say to them." So the Lord is commanding Aaron and his sons, that is the Kohanim, that is the priesthood, the holy priesthood of Israel. He says, "Thus shall you bless the people of Israel." Then he gives this special three-part, three-blessing formula, this three lines of this blessing. Hashem bless you and keep you. Hashem make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Hashem lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Probably heard that one before, like I said. Now, anyone, the truth is, even though it says this is the blessing for Aaron and his sons to bestow on the nation of Israel, in fact, anyone can say this blessing. But its true potency can be bestowed only by a Kohen, only by a priest, someone who is a descendant of Aaron, the priest, and is within the legal parameters of the priesthood in the nation of Israel. I remember a story of Herr Muller, a disciple of Avram Polyak, when Herr Muller met an American Jew named Hal Cohen. Hal Cohen, he said, "Cohen," he asked him, he said, "Are you a Cohen?" And he's like, "Yeah, my father's a Cohen," you know. So he asked him for a blessing. He asked, and the man's like, "What do you mean? You want a blessing?" He said, "You're a priest. You have a duty. Give me a blessing. I'm here asking for a blessing." And so the man says, "Well, how?" You know, and Herr Muller says, "Well, put your hands on my head and say the Aaronic blessing." And now, so this Hal Cohen fellow, he didn't know the Hebrew of the Aaronic blessing. It, not that he was ignorant about Judaism, but he just wasn't really what you would call Orthodox either. You know, sort of halfway secular, and not really sure on the Hebrew. And the whole thing is sort of an uncomfortable situation, I'm sure. But no problem. Herr Muller teaches him the Hebrew. He says, "No, I'll teach you." So he teaches him word by word. Yavarakaka. And he gives him, takes about 15 minutes to teach this guy how to say the blessing. And then when he finally has it down, gets down on his knees and has the guy put his hands on him and bless him with the priestly blessing. He pronounces the blessing. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace." The Lord said that when the priests do bestow this blessing upon the children of Israel, he says, "They shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel and I will bless them." In other words, when the priest pronounced the blessing over the children of Israel, this particular blessing, God himself steps in, as it were, and offers his blessing. Now, in the days of the temple, in the days of the holy temple, in the days of the master and the apostles, this blessing was offered twice a day, every day, by all the priests on duty in the temple. After the morning sacrifice and the afternoon sacrifice and the prayer the standing prayer would conclude with kind of like, you know, the 18 benedictions, Amida, kind of builds up to this crowning moment. And this is at the end of the sacrificial service when the priests go up to the platform called the Dukan. This is the Dukan up here, like mirroring it. They go up to the platform, and ordinarily the priests don't turn their back on Hashem, on the sanctuary, right? But at this critical moment, they turn towards all the worshipers in the courtyard in the temple, and they lift up their hands. That's why it's called Dukaning, because they go up to the Dukan. And they lift up their hands, and that's why it's called the lifting of the hands. They lift up their hands, and they make that sign of the priesthood. You know, the letter W, Shin, it's the Paleo Hebrew for the Shins, stands for Shaddai, one of God's names, because it says, thus they will place my name upon the children of Israel, upon the Israelites, and then they would pronounce this blessing, and that was like the height, to be there in the temple and receive the priest's blessing. When the priests lift their hands, everybody would lower their heads. You'd lower your heads because you don't want to be, you know, staring at the glory of God. And it says, because God himself says, I will bless them. You know, so you don't, you know, it's not appropriate to be looking at the divine presence of God. You know, so the lifting, this is called the lifting of the hands. It's called Dukanim, going up to the platform. It's also called Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests. I think one of the most awesome things in our religion is the bestowal of Birkat Kohanim at the Kotel in Jerusalem. Not that I've ever been there for it, but I've watched it on YouTube. You know, what you end up with is thousands and thousands of people packed into the courtyard at the Kotel, and hundreds of Kohanim are present up front. You know, and the cantor is calling out the priestly benediction word by word, one word at a time. He calls it out. He just chants it out. He sings out the first word. And then all the priests that are there respond word by word. The whole thing takes about 4 or 5 minutes to get through the text, to get through those blessings. It's a beautiful, you know, and everybody's there. Everybody is there to receive this blessing from the priesthood, from the sons of Aaron. It's actually this priestly benediction. Here's an interesting trivia point. It's the oldest piece of the Bible that we have. What do I mean by that? Well, it's the oldest piece that we found. If in terms of biblical text, you know, Gabriel Barkai, Israeli archaeologist, Gabi, we always just called him Gabi. Gabi Barkai was doing digs back in the late 70s in Jerusalem, and he was getting into tombs, first temple era tombs. There was a big protest. You know, all the Haredi were coming out saying, you can't do this. So Gabi was working at night, and my brother's colleague's son, John Munson, was like the little boy that would go in the tombs with him, you know. And Gabi was working at night. He'd go in these tombs. John Munson would be. John would tell us these stories. John Munson. He was. He goes in. He just says, you know, sometimes you touch a skull and it just turns to dust. Like, okay. Gabi Barkai found these little silver scrolls, silver scrolls, amulets rolled up. And when they're unrolled, very carefully, microscopically working, you know, unrolled, they had the text of the priestly benediction. And these are little scrolls from the days of, you know, Jeremiah the prophet, earlier maybe than Jeremiah the prophet, you know, 7th century. It's the oldest piece of the Bible. Not saying that it's the first written, but the oldest extant piece of biblical text that we have. You don't have to be a priest, like I was saying, to bestow this blessing. You know, it's traditional for fathers to bless their children every Friday night at the Shabbat table, you know, at the onset of the Sabbath with this blessing. It's one of my favorite things. One of my favorite things in the Sabbath rituals is that bestowing of the blessing on my children. And we bless a new bride with this blessing just before she goes to the chuppah. We say this blessing over a girl who's about to be married, and then check to make sure that it's the right girl under the veil, and then send her off to the chuppah. And in the absence of a kohen, we don't have a kohen in the congregation, a halakhic kohen, the cantor recites the blessing over the congregation on behalf of a priest. But ordinarily, then, when we hear a blessing, if I say a blessing, who brings forth bread from the earth, you say, Amen, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what Amen is for. Amen is not for, can I get an Amen? It's not about do you agree with me? It's sort of like that. But it's supposed to be used for answering a blessing, to say, yes, I'm with that. Let's get blessed here. So we hear the blessings, of the morning service, and we answer Amen, Amen, Amen. But we get to the priestly blessing, we don't answer Amen. Why not? We hear the priestly blessing, we say, Kein Yehi Ratzon, yes, may it be His will. Yes, may it be His will. Yes, may it be His will. Why don't we say Amen? Because it's not a priest saying the blessing. When Rabbi Shiffman was here last Sukkot, remember, he came up, Rabbi Shiffman is a Kohen, he came up, he said the priestly blessing, we said, Amen, 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 after each of the three blessings. So we hear the priestly blessing every Sabbath during the liturgical service. One of the reasons for being here, in fact, at that early hour of the 9 a.m. service, is to receive these blessings, these and many others that Hashem hands out like candy at a Sabbath synagogue service. He hands out candy like we're showering a bar mitzvah boy or bat mitzvah girl. That's how many blessings are flying around in the room at a typical synagogue service. But as I said, this is the pinnacle. The last benediction of the Amidah, the last benediction of the 18, the prayer called the 18, the standing prayer, is called Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom means place peace. Sim Shalom, right? So we sing that place, peace. It doesn't sound as good in English. But it's a liturgical reply to the priestly blessing, in that the benediction of Sim Shalom, we are agreeing with the sentiment that is expressed in the priestly blessing, which concludes, the priestly blessing, of course, concludes, V'yaseim lecha shalom, and may He place upon you shalom, may He place upon you peace, V'yaseim, same. And so we say, Sim Shalom, yes, place peace. Place peace upon us. Place peace, goodness, blessing, grace, devotion, compassion upon us and upon all Israel. Bless us, our Father, all of us as one. Because what does it say? He says, when they say this blessing, then I will bless you. So we're not speaking to the priest. We're speaking to God. We're saying, okay, priest, you're done. Out of the way, because now this is where Hashem's blessing comes. Say, bless us, our Father. All of us is one with the light of your face. With the light of your face, you'll give us, Lord our God, the Torah of life, devoted love, righteousness, blessing, compassion, life, peace. And it's good in your eyes to bless your people Israel. We say, blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses His people Israel with shalom. So just for fun today, since this is such an integral part of what we do here, let's take a fresh look at the text of the blessing that you've known for all these years, the priestly benediction. The first blessing simply says, there's three of them, we're going to work through three lines of text. I'm just going to learn three verses from the Bible today. First verse, number 624, the Lord bless you and keep you. And when the Hebrew says here, the Lord bless you and keep you, the you, and this is going to continue all the way through the text, the you appears in the singular form. And it remains singular through the entire blessing, which is surprising to me because this blessing is meant for the plural children of Israel, for the whole nation. So we would expect it to say, the Lord bless you alls and keep you alls, to use the proper English plural second person form. The Lord bless y'alls and keep y'alls, but instead it's the Lord bless you individual and keep you individual. We can derive a few lessons from this. First of all, who is you? Who is you in the blessing? Well, we know that because the text tells us this is how you will bless the sons of Israel. So the you in the blessing, first of all, is not you. The you in the blessing is the nation of Israel. That's the biblical meaning. So it says, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. And it says, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel. So, you know, maybe you never thought of it this way. I've never thought of it this way. I always think, you know, the blessing is like, well, you know, the reflex is always, well, all the blessings for me and the curses are for the Jews, right? But not the case. This blessing is for Israel. So this teaches us, we learn from this, that if we desire to receive the blessing of God, we must endeavor to identify with and be in unity with His people before God. When God blesses Israel, He blesses the nation as one man. You know, one man, that's sort of Ephesians language, isn't it? One new man, one man. And although this blessing has taken on a standard universal currency, it certainly has. You know, it's said in every place, every church, ubiquitous and universal. It's God's blessing for Israel. That's its correct application, its intention, the original intention. You want to talk sola scriptura, let's get sola scriptura. This is a blessing for the nation of Israel. So to participate in this blessing is to receive, you know, to receive the benefit from this blessing. A person must be in standing in the nation of Israel. Now for Jews, of course, you know, there's like, well. But for Gentiles, you know, there's only one way for this to happen. Well, two, but only one that we're going to endorse. There's only one way for this to happen, and that is through Yeshua of Nazareth, the King of Israel, who takes us into His household as His servants, thereby adopting us, so to speak, into the nation of God's people. And when our theology separates us from participation in Israel, it separates us, therefore, from receiving the blessing that's intended for Israel. Okay, that's one. Here's another. The singular form also teaches us that God's blessing is individual. That even though we're all part of a greater collective, we're all part of a greater whole, we're all part of a body, God still deals with us on an individual level. No single person before Hashem is inconsequential. It's not as if He says, oh, I don't have time for you. I got the bigger picture here. I'm looking at the nation of Israel and I don't see the individuals. On the contrary, the blessing lands not only on the nation as a whole, but on each individual within the nation. Okay, so what is the blessing saying? Well, the first line of the blessing asks God to bless and keep Israel. In other words, the priests are asking God to do good for His people and to protect them. Really simple. What does it mean to bless? To bless is to wish for an increase of good, to bestow goodwill, to speak goodness. Rashi sees the blessing in Numbers 6:24 as relating specifically, if you want to get specific, relating specifically to material blessings. He paraphrases it this way, may your possessions increase. Well, it sounds good, may your possessions. In other words, may God make you successful in your endeavors. It's a request that God would prosper us. This sounds a little bit like prosperity message. Well, it depends on, you know, I mean, maybe. Like it says in Pirkei Avot, with more possessions comes, the more the possessions, the more the worries, right? The more the property, so how is that a blessing? Well, I don't know. Let's just find out. We ask God to prosper us, and it's appropriate to do so. It's appropriate to ask God to prosper us. And this is not name it and claim it. It's not like I believe for that and I'm gonna, you know, this is more like a supplicant coming before a king and asking for a boon, not demanding one. And it's appropriate to ask God to help us. To help us make our way, to help us, for a parnasa, an income, a provision. You know, the master talks about this all the time. He says, you know, you don't have to worry. God takes care of the sparrows and the flowers. This is very much a part of our faith, is an expectation that God will care for us. And that's all we're saying here. May the Lord bless you. And it says, may he keep you. This is the Hebrew word shamar, of course, which can be translated as guard or protect. Shomer Yisrael, he who keeps Israel, the one, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, it says in the Psalms. So we're asking God to guard us, to protect us, to preserve us. So you could boil it down like this. The first line of the blessing is asking God to bless us and keep us, that is to do good for us, protect us, sustain us, provide for us, and rescue us. And everyone say, Kein Yehi Ratzon, yes, may it be his will. The second line, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Shine his face. What does it mean to shine your face? Or to illuminate your face on someone. It's not the way we talk. We don't use that kind of language. And I say, yeah, I went in to see my boss. He was really shining his face at me. You know, it's like, I think I might get that big raise. that's not the way we talk, but that's the sense of it. It's idiomatic language. The sages taught that the shining of God's face, you know, they took it in and connected it with the verse in Proverbs that says, for the commandment is the lamp, the Torah is a light, and that's an esoteric kind of teaching. There's like the shining of God's face, the illumination of his face is his teaching, it's his Torah and that sort of thing. But Rashi goes much simpler. He explains it much simpler. He says, the shining of God's face means that he has a friendly expression on his face. He paraphrases it this way. He says, may God show you a smiling face. I mean, and that's what you're looking for. So idiomatically, the shining of God's face means that he's looking towards us with a kindly expression. This is how we read people, you know, we read their faces, you know. He's looking toward us with a kindly expression. And when someone's like smiling at you and it is warm and they're like radiating like warmth towards you, you know, it also indicates they're paying attention to you. And that's also what we like. I mean, I can illustrate this with a story of two fathers. Here's a story of two fathers. The first father comes home to his family. Picks up the newspaper. Not anymore. Now he goes on, checks his email. He begins checking his email while his wife and his children are trying to get his attention and talk to him. And he's like kind of affirming the presence with the occasional nod or grunt. And he's pretty good at pretending to be listening. When his daughter's showing him some piece of artwork, you know, that she's created, he smiles. Yeah, oh, you know, but his mind is like way far away. And he's not really seeing her artwork at all. I don't know if any of you dads can identify with this at all. I've been that father sometimes. I try not to be. I try to be more like this second guy. Here comes Super Dad. He comes home to his family and immediately fixes his attention on each individual. And when his wife or children speak to him, He hears what they are saying and intelligently processes it and responds. Side note, we should try this. Here's when your wife is talking, look her in the eye and think about what she's saying, just to freak her out. See what happens. His daughter comes up to him and says, look, Daddy, look at this artwork that I, look, I made this in school or whatever. And he inquires about it and says, whoa, what's going on here? Is that a giraffe? And, you know, the whole, and he praises her for it. That is beautiful, and affirms her. You know, so you have these two fathers. Which father has shown his face? You know what I mean? Which one has shined his face upon his family? We want God to pay attention to us. And be concerned with our concerns. You know, even if they're childish concerns. And the priestly benediction is asking for his attention like that. And we ask God, it says, and be gracious to you. What does it mean to be gracious? Gracious is favor. It's the Hebrew word is hanan, and it means favor, to find favor. It's the Hebrew idiom is, if I have found favor in your eyes. You know, the petitioner says to the king, if your servant has found favor in your eyes, hear my petition. And it's the same concept that comes into the Greek, then it comes into the Greek, into the New Testament scriptures as the word grace. Same word. Grace. So therefore, you might say that the priestly benediction is asking for God's grace, asking for his favor, which includes the grace that would be bestowed upon us through his blessed Son for the forgiveness of sins and for a reconciliation of relationship with him, the grace of Messiah, the unmerited favor of God, that thanks to the Messiah who merited it, we can be recipients of that favor. God freely forgives our sins, gives us the gift of salvation, eternal life, a share in the world to come, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, according to the riches of his grace, or his favor, which he lavished upon us. So to summarize, the second blessing of Birkat Kohanim is asking God, pay attention to me. Pay attention to us. Smile at us and find favor in us. Bestow grace on us. Forgiveness and favor. Ken yehi ratzon. Yes, may it be his will. Third and last blessing says, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. All right, lift up his face. What does it mean to lift up his face? Well, Rashi explains this. It says the lifting of God's face indicates that God is not angry. So he paraphrases it to say, may the Lord suppress his anger. Here's the idea. When a person is angry at his fellow, he refuses to look at him. You know that, it's like, I can't even look at you, I'm sorry, you know, that sort of thing. So, idiomatically, a fallen face is a scowl or an unhappy expression. It takes more muscles to frown. You've heard that. I don't know about that. So this would be a fallen face. Why is your face fallen? Why is your face sad? You know, whereas a lifted face, once again, is like the previous blessing, is a smile. A lifted face is a smile. So the priestly benediction, once again, it's asking God, smile at me. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. don't be angry. Don't be stern. And then finally, the priestly blessing saves the best for last, which is the blessing of peace. It says, and may he give you peace. Actually, it doesn't say, may he give you peace. It says, may he place unto you peace. I'm not sure what the difference is, but the placement of something is not quite a gift. It's more static. So some translators translate it this way. It says, may he establish for you peace. Establish. Establish, establish, establish peace. doesn't quite work. So the Hebrew word shalom, you know, peace, may he establish for you peace. Shalom, in this context, it has more of a sense, it's more than just absence of conflict. It's wholeness, completeness, a general sense of well-being and that things are right. It's this kind of shalom that we're looking for. It encompasses physical peace. How's your shalom? Spiritual peace, mental peace, emotional peace, you know, relationships with one another, relationship with family, relationship with authorities, employers, employees, neighbors, and most important, relationship with God. Peace intersects all of these. You know, we need peace in all of these relationships and with health and so on. So in Hebrew, when you want to ask someone, hi, how are you? You know, how are you? You say, ma shalomcha, how is your peace? How's your peace? And who isn't looking for peace? You know, we have a lot of turmoil in our lives. I think everybody knows. Why do we have turmoil in our lives? Well, because we have desires, wants, needs, because we love. We love others. We risk, and love is a risk, and we invest in other people emotionally, and so on. And there's nothing wrong with these things, but they don't make for a lot of peace. You know, so the Stoics came along and they said, we need more peace. Here's what we need to do. Let's emotionally detach. We'll just kind of detach from everything and realize that everything is everything and it's in a constant, and we'll like establish this equilibrium, like Mr. Spock. Well, I'll be like Mr. Spock, who's making the peace sign, you know. It's half the priestly benediction. It's only half the story. But the Hebrews believed in passionate engagement to love, rejoice, hope, lament, cry, weep, wail, rage, make war if necessary. There's a time for everything. And beyond all these visceral impulses that rock a person's world and make life what it is. I mean, it wouldn't be life if it wasn't for these things. There would be no life without death. There would be no having without losing. But beyond all of this is something divine. There is the peace that passes understanding. Shalom, peace, is one of the names of God. The Oseh Shalom, he who makes peace. So shalom, peace, one of the names of God, a promise of the Messianic era, of the kingdom of heaven, which is going to be ruled over by Sar Shalom, not Sar Shalom in St. Paul, but the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And peace will flow like a river from New Jerusalem in that day. It is a gift of the Messiah, this peace. He's the one who places peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My shalom I give to you, not as the world gives. So we say, place peace. So to summarize this third blessing of the priestly benediction, we're asking God once again to smile at us. Withhold your anger. Don't be mad. Establish for us good physical health, spiritual health, mental health, emotional health, peace with our enemies, wholeness in our relationships, general wellness, sufficiency, satiety, and peace with God, the peace which passes comprehension. Ken yehi ratzon. Yes, may it be his will. So that's the priestly benediction. Now we've taken a quick look at the Birkat HaKohanim. You know, maybe you can understand Herr Mueller a little better. In his eager, awkward insistence on receiving the priestly benediction. Oh, put your hands here. He wants it from a Kohen. And I hope that you too, you know, maybe we'll all be a little bit more mindful with these words when we hear these words and we receive this blessing from Sabbath to Sabbath. As it says in the Torah, through the priestly benediction, it says, so shall they place, seem, so shall they place my name upon the people of Israel. I will bless them. Seem. This is the wording. So shall they place, seem, my name. It's the exact same word in the previous verse where it says, and place peace upon you. So it says, the priests say, Hashem, lift up his face upon you and place upon you shalom. It's a very strange way to say it. Place upon you shalom. Then Hashem says, that's how they place my name on the people of Israel. And this is how we derive the teaching that one of God's names is shalom, peace. And the shin is also the first letter of the word shalom. Hashem says, so shall they place my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. May you be blessed, along with all Israel, your brethren, by faith.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.